Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Real Connection podcast. I'm Sean Santoro with my good, lovely co-host to my right. Dave, say hello.
Hi, guys.
Today we've got Owen Patrick Crampsey from Essentially Speaking here helping us out, giving us some good insight and good tips. So, Owen, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, guys? Always nice to see you guys.
Doing good. Always good. Doing good.
It is Sean and David, right?
Last time we looked.
Things are good, guys. It really is nice to see you. We've lost touch a little bit, but I'm glad to see you guys are busy with your Real Connection. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. We just had a guest on. We learned a lot of new stuff that neither one of us knew. So it's always interesting to talk to different people and get different ideas and perspectives. Now for you, you've got 30 years worth of experience, in business. So you've got a lot of things to talk about. For the most part, you started off in the mall, didn't you?
I don't look it, but I've got 44 years of experience in retail management and sales. I'm 62 now. I started when I was 18, and in my early days were in retail management. I was in retail management by the time I was 18. I didn't go to any education after high school. So I just went to the work world and I had my DJ company called Owen Sound, and I had my DJ'd on weekends. I did weddings and everything. I worked at a couple of bars, and I had a day job in retail from very early on. So, working with the public has been my life for 44 years. Yeah, since I was 18 years old. Back to your question, David, I was in retail management from 18 till about 32.
Yeah. Now here's a question. Out of all those years of work in the service industry, what is the biggest thing that you learned? What's the biggest tip you would give to someone who is watching?
Well, when you say the service industry, I got to interrupt you there. Are you talking about in my opinion, service industry is and nothing against it, but it's more like working in a restaurant or that kind of thing. But I was fortunate to get into management at a very early age, and it forced me to learn very quickly how to motivate, manage, and train other people. So that was where, the question you asked, of course, is what's the one big magic pill tip that I could offer? Is that what you want?
Yeah, absolutely.
If something really stood out. I wish there was one magic pill. There isn't. But I mean, I guess if it had to be summed up in one concept, I think that it's based on service instead of sales. Nobody wants to be sold. Nobody wants to be pushed. Nobody wants to be cajoled into buying anything. But they definitely want to feel like you care about what they want and why you want it, what you need. Or what they need, I should say. That's really where most of my training has kind of hinged on, is take care of people and they'll come back. I mean, that was a thing in retail, especially you want repeat customers, as it is in my real estate business too. You want repeat customers. And if you don't treat people right, they ain't coming back, no matter what your product is.
Yeah, it's the experience.
So that age-old adage, people don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care.
They want to know that you care. Yeah, I think it's absolutely true. Yeah. And you guys have both been in business a long time. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm sure there's listeners with us now that have been around a long time too. And one thing that, I mean, I hope we have lots to talk about here in the next 20 minutes or so. But one of the things that was really kind of an early on boost to me was that success builds confidence. It's a little bit of the chicken or the egg thing. Does confidence build success, or does success build confidence? And I found that when you're 18 years old, you don't really have a lot of confidence. You have a lot of energy and you have a lot of hopes and dreams, but you don't yet have a lot of success. So once you go after what you want and you start having success, it definitely helps you build confidence, which hopefully snowballs into more success.
Well, you know me, I'll talk to a rock. You know, I got, if it comes to sales, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to somebody. But there's other people who, if they don't, they're not wired that way. Sure. So if somebody wants to get into sales who, you know, won't talk to some stationary object, what would you suggest? I mean, what should they look at starting with to sort of ease their way into the sales world?
Oh, that's a really good question. There would probably be like a top 10 list on that. One, and I don't have the top 10 off the top of my head, but one would be understanding what it is that you want. There's not enough goal planning going on in sales. And because goal planning to a lot of people is a scary thing, or it's a boring endeavor, or both, or even worse, they just don't want to do it. They think, I know in my training over the years, I've had people say, you know, if I get into goal planning and I don't meet my goal, I feel like a failure. Well, that's not really the angle that people should take towards goal planning. I've rarely met really good goal planners. And a lot of that is just because they don't sit down and put a plan together. A lot of people fly by the seat of their pants. You know, they have often told people a half-assed approach brings you half-assed efforts. So having a true idea of what it is you want, I think is a huge boost to anybody's production and success.
I can totally reiterate on that one. Is you know, the half-assed effort gets half-assed results. Totally agree. Like, there's lots of people that, you know, they write down their goals and they put it up on the thing and then, you know, they look at it and they go and do things. But I find that a lot of people lack that, the follow through in measuring those goals, which is like, okay, like that's essentially, that's what you need to do, because otherwise you end up at the finish line and you're just like, oh, I didn't meet my goal. Well, you know, if your goal was to talk to 3,650 people this year, well, that means you need to talk to 10 a day. Are you measuring how many people you're talking to per day? Because if you're not, it's going to be December and you're going to be like, well, I don't have 3,600 people I've talked to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're measuring and coming back to what the thing is that you were setting to, maybe you'd recognize like, oh shit, I didn't talk to anybody yesterday. Yeah. That means I'm 10 behind.
Well, number one, I have to applaud your math. That was really quick, the way you did that. That was excellent. So I appreciate that.
365, finance guy.
but you hit it on, you know, you hit the nail on the head, because a lot of people they'll do the goal plan, they'll start the goal plan, but then they don't check in, they don't measure it. So it's really a worthless goal plan. And again, that goes back to people, I think, being fearful of failure. They don't want to see in real time that, oh, I didn't meet my goal. And that's unfortunate. And that's where I think a lot of people need a personal coach, and they need to look for inspiration, motivation, whatever that is that helps them. You know, going back to David's point, what's the starting point? Starting point, you know, another starting point, one of many, is to understand what you know and what you don't know and be honest with yourself. Check in with yourself. You know, am I really ready to do what I'm hoping to do? Or do I need to look for models, other people that are doing what I'd like to do, and model their behaviors, model their plans and their success, of course, eventually. But a lot of it has to do with being honest with yourself. Where are my skills and where are they not? And I find a lot of people, especially, you know, I've been in the real estate business now for 30 years. I find a lot of people that I've coached and trained over the years have the best intentions possible. Like, I wanted to do great things. I want to take care of my family. I want my kids' education covered. I want to live in the house I want to, you know, drive the cars I want, travel, everything that most people that are motivated to have a good life, what they want. But there's a lot of wishing and dreaming and all of that. I will tell you that I've been to a lot of speakers, a lot of trainers over the years I've been in business, and I see people mostly hone in on kind of what you mentioned earlier, Sean. Let's see how many people you talk to today. So you got to talk to 10 people a day as your example. You got to book 3 appointments. You got to this, you got, you know, they're down to the numbers, which are necessary. Absolutely. You know, you want to have at least a plan of what your day is going to look like, what your week and your quarter are going to look like. But to not feel like you understand exactly what your purpose is and where you're headed and why, that's the half-assed effort, in my opinion, you know? So the, sorry, go ahead.
There are some people, Owen, who their skill, to your point of knowing your skills, some people are great phone people. You know, I was just talking to a guy the other day. He says, the phone is my strong point. When he gets interpersonal, he gets a little nervous and flustered. But on the phone, he says he's a demon. He does exactly what you were saying, Sean. He does 3, 4, 5,000 calls a year. He has no problem with picking up the phone. But where he said he has a little bit of problem is when he's actually got to meet people.
In person, you know, yeah.
In person, and that's where his skills lack. And that's why having somebody or, you know, that you can go to help hone the other side of that, you know, the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm great on the phone. It's my natural thing. I love this. Give me a phone all day long. But I have to close this guy or this girl, you know. Yeah. I've got to meet them.
You got to meet them in person, and you got to impress them. You got to build a relationship, build a rapport.
Yeah, and you've got to know how to do that.
Why are they choosing you? Why should they choose you? All of that stuff. I want to make what I think is an important point is that the you know, we're talking more about direct sales, I think, than we are retail. Although retail is important that people build relationships and get people to come back to their location and, you know, build that name recognition. Like, yeah, when I come in here, I want to deal with Dave, you know,
right.
It's a beautiful thing. You're not having to chase new customers all the time. You got people coming back to you. That's where you build a business and you build a network. But the idea of going out with this idea of, you know, I got to talk to 10 people. I got to make 3 appointments. I got to do this. Imagine what it's like for people to not have the confidence in what they are going to do when they get in person with that customer. Like you said,
yeah,
this guy's
got to be terrifying.
Sure, terrifying. So what I'd like to train on is the psychology of selling, but also the psychology of building a relationship. So, and I talk a lot about this with people too, is the chameleon approach. Let me give you an example. I used to train people when I was at the mall, you know, Devonshire we're talking about. This was in the days of Tip Top Tailor, so I was the manager there for years. And I would tell my staff, I would say, so let's say a guy comes in the door. And usually it was men because it was, that's not true. I guess because it was menswear, a lot of women were buying their men's clothes. But let's say it's a man. The man comes in the door and he's in a hurry. He's running around like, I'm looking for something, you know. And you're sauntering up with your hands in your pocket. So, hey, man, how's it going? What's happening?
You
know, Are you having a good day? You know, and this guy's like, hey, dude, I'm not into that right now. I'm not feeling that. I got stuff to do. You're dead. You know, your deal is dead. And even if he buys whatever he needs because he's on the spot to buy right now, he ain't coming back. You've destroyed the experience. And the opposite, if a guy's coming in and just taking his time, he's got an hour to kill because his wife's at the hair salon, and that wasn't meant to be sexist. I hope it wasn't taken that way. You never know. You never know these days. But who's going to take what? But,
I get my hair did.
Yeah, your hair looks like it got did. But
oh, it got did. All right. It's going to be done soon.
But the guy's coming in and just wants to wander around, and you're going, hey, sir, how's it going? Hey, what can I get you today? And, you know, you've got to read people. You've got to read the room. You've got to read the atmosphere. You've got to know that it's more important about them than you, what's happening in that moment, because they're not there to impress you. You're there to impress them.
And people like yourself, with all this experience, you've had years to be able to read body language. I mean, and everybody here knows it, and I hope I'm just for the people who are listening or watching who don't. 72% of communication is done non-verbally. So if you have to be able to read people, you know, their body language, are they, you know, are they looking at their watch? Are they, you know, going from foot to foot? You know, if somebody is looking like they're ready to run away, you know, you have to change your tact.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. The training for that, you know, you can't, as you said, you can't just walk up and be on somebody who's looking very relaxed. You're gonna throw them off. For coaches, as you were saying, is it easy to find a good coach? Are there a lot of them out there?
That's a really good question too. I think it's not. I don't think it really is because, I mean, it's like trying to, find a, a therapist. I would imagine that people that are in that world looking for real help have a hard time connecting with one-on-one with a person. Is it a man, a woman? How much experience have they got? All of that, It's the same I find in sales. We go back to that relationship point. Now, I just want to mention this just for anyone who doesn't know me. Yes, I've been in business in working with people, working with the public, retail, and then 30 years as a realtor and a broker owner of my own brokerage until just this past October for 21 years. I'm in the top 5% of sales in North America for every real estate company I've ever worked with, which is only the three, my own, one when I started out in Windsor, and now the company I'm with just moved my license to. So I'm fortunate. I'm not bragging about that, but I think it's important for people to understand that who you guys are bringing on are not just people that want to talk and be listened to.
Right.
You are, again, without bragging, you are talking to a successful person who has the goods to help other people to be successful, and I've proven it time and time again. So I'm not just talking out of my hat. These are not just learned experiences. These are proven experiences. So when I say, give me an example. How often have you gone into a store? David and I were talking about this recently, a store that's poorly merchandised, and you see people, they're just kind of lost, like where, how, when, what, when am I, where is everything? Like what, how do I know what you're trying to do here? The presentation matters. But when you start getting the people involved is when people get really potentially uncomfortable and nervous because again, it's on the salesperson to build the relationship, not the customer, not the client. So if that confidence is not there, that's where I go back to my point earlier. People have to start from scratch and say, where am I with the confidence to actually speak to strangers? And to have, you know what? Just a point just hit me that I want to tell you about that I've said for years, and I've trained people on this, and it helps them. They don't even realize they're doing this. Canadians have a tendency, you guys have heard me mention this before, I think, but they have a tendency when they speak for their, like the end of a sentence, their voice trails up like that, and they're constantly speaking like that, and it sounds like they're asking questions all the time.
Questions, yep.
And
I
yeah,
don't know
and
what
it
you're
feels.
talking about.
Yeah, it feels like a, exactly. It feels like a weakness from that person. And it, I don't know what it is. It's a very Canadian way of speaking, because you're constantly asking a question. So I, and it's true. In the early days, I started listening to newscasters. And if you listen to the news, they're not talking like that. You know that those people are trained to build confidence in the huge audience that they have that they don't even get to see. They're on a camera, right? So they've learned early on to make sure that any point they make at the end of it, their voice goes down. Why? Because it connotes authority when your voice goes down at the end of a sentence. Just
I
like I'm
know what
doing
I'm
with you.
talking about.
And it's exactly, it's a funny thing. And again, I've trained on this for years, but it actually works. It actually is true. People will listen to you more intently, and they will believe more of what you have to say when your voice goes down and you sound like a person who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah,
Right.
like I mean, as Dave was saying, like 74%, I can't remember what the number was,
72%.
72%'s nonverbal. So that's
Yeah.
just the way that I'm sitting, the way that I'm doing, the
Oh, yeah.
but then, tonality takes up a big portion of the remainder, and it's like the last 5 or 6% is actually the words you say. Now that's
Yes.
crazy to me,
Isn't that
right?
funny, though?
But it's
As a
true. I mean,
person that listens to the words and like I follow the words and I'm interested in the words that they're saying. I genuinely am because if it's a question that I'm asking, well, I want the answer to the question. You can say it to me very nicely, very softly, but it's the answer that I'm looking for. But not
Yeah.
everybody's wired the same way as me. I totally get that. But on average, they suggest like good portion body language, next portion tonality, and then that tiny little slivers, that amount of actual words that come out at the end. And so it's crazy to me when I learn that stat. It's
Well, see,
nuts.
not only that, it's there's so many little things. There's, well, Owen knows this, so do you. There's mirroring, you know, where mm-hmm. you mirror somebody's posture. There's where you place your hands. You know, you don't mm-hmm. want to have your hands too high or too low. There's a certain area that makes people feel safe and comfortable. There's all sorts of things that people don't know.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and that's what it is. There's all sorts of body positions and body languages and yes. leaning forward and leaning back. Absolutely. And all this little stuff, eye contact, everything else that people don't under, you don't know what you don't know. So the new people coming into sales, you know, they have no idea. They're just going to act like they have their whole lives. So,
you know, one you didn't mention is listening more than speaking. And that's just a huge mistake for people to believe that they know exactly what people want when the people haven't even had a chance to tell them yet. You know,
most people don't even know what they want.
I'll say there are salespeople who will just do all the talking because they want the sale quicker. They just want to, like, let's cut through the crap. You know, I'm going to get you what you want, and you're going to pay me to do so, you know. And it's a bit of a, you know, without calling out any particular industry, but I guess I am, the car industry is a very, very challenging sales game. You remember that these guys and girls are expected to work many, many 12-hour days. There's very little loyalty in that business because people can walk next door to the next lot all the way down to Tecumseh Road in Windsor and see another person who wants a sale, another person who wants a sale. Right. And they might come back the next day. And if that person isn't working that day or that time of day, the next person picks them up as a customer. And I don't know how they do it. I mean, they really have to make an effort to build clientele when it comes to repeat customers. Now, one thing that's really important, I think, too, one of the many, of course, is to appreciate your customers as well, to make sure that you're very happy that they worked with you and that they weren't just a one-off. Yeah, you know, now I made money with you, you know, have a nice life, and they're on their way.
Yeah, you don't want to feel like you're in a McDonald's line. You know, okay, here's your order, next, you know, that kind of thing makes people just want to, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially, and this is one of the things that newer people don't understand. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot more money and effort, a bit money for the business, effort for the people to keep building new clients, mm-hmm. right? So if you can give somebody a really good experience, understand what they want, what their needs are. You're there, and this is where a lot of service people do fall down. You're there to serve them. They're not just there to buy something from you.
Right.
You know, so if you serve them, talk to them, listen to them, find out what they need, what they want. A lot of times they don't exactly know what they need, especially like in real estate, you know. Well, I want a really nice house. Well, what's that?
I'm looking for a house.
Yes.
Perfect.
You know? Yeah.
Perfect.
You know, so a lot of people don't even know what they want. You have to kind of guide them, you know, on that journey. Not lead them, but be their guide saying, okay, well, we could go this way or this way. You can have this or that. I mean, this is the stuff that I think that newer people don't really understand. And people like yourself who've been doing it forever, you know, you comprehend it internally, you know?
Well, there's another point that comes up as you say that is that there's the need for you to also respect yourself. So when I train people, and again, I'm doing that a long time, apparently according to you forever. I do remind people that you have worth, that, you can't let people push you around. You can't let people abuse. You can't let people be mean to you or talk down to you or whatever. You have worth. You're not just a salesperson that people get to beat up just because you're in that role. You know, there was a quick note. I have a daughter who works at a restaurant in town. You know, a bar restaurant, and this goes back to kind of respecting who you are and not taking a lot of crap from people, which is fine in sales. You don't need to like have people abuse you, because you can let go of a customer who's abusive and there's another one coming down the line, you know? Don't waste your time with people that are going to treat you poorly and disrespect you, because all that's going to do is hurt your confidence, and it's going to hurt your energy and your joy of what you're doing, especially with the next customer as they come along. So I, you know, I believe
I'm not a firm believer in the customer is always right.
Yeah, that's so funny. That was like the phrase that was just ringing in my head. Is I'm yeah, like, I don't it, like
it's
that.
It's like, I'm just not a big proponent of that because the customer doesn't even, as I said, a lot of times doesn't even know what they want. Yeah. They don't know everything about, you know, what they're buying.
In the process, you can be assertive without being aggressive. You can guide people, as you mentioned earlier, and some people, they're not comfortable with that, or they don't really believe they need that when you're doing it for their own good sometimes, especially in large ticket items like real estate. I mean, there are times when people do make poor decisions, and it's your job as a realtor to kind of guide them back on track and say, you know, this might be the best option. Yeah. So let me go back to my tale real quick, because I know we're running out of time. But, you know, my daughter works at this restaurant, and unfortunately, there's quite a few guys that abuse servers. And this is just an example of dealing with the public where a lot of guys go, and I'm blaming the guys. I'm calling out the guys. They go to the bars and the restaurants, and they hit on the staff, or they make comments to the staff that they would never make if their wife was at the table. You know, or whatever it is, right? So I put out a Facebook post, and you're, you know, welcome to look it up if you like. And it's, I basically ranted, and I said, these girls are not your girlfriend. You know, they're not strippers. They're not looking for a date. They are daughters, mothers, wives, sisters who are doing a job, you know? And I wanted not just my own daughter, but everyone in that industry to understand you deserve respect. And if you're not getting respect, you shouldn't have to deal with that person. And I've trained all my agents in the industry as well as in retail. If people are talking to you poorly, talking down to you, insulting you, you don't need to deal with that. That's not part of sales.
So what, now, just on that point, what you say you don't need to deal with it, and I agree with you, absolutely. What do you recommend if you've got somebody in, you know, either a restaurant or, you know, buying a home or whatever, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. who is being either verbally abusive or, you know, angry or whatever? What do you recommend? How do you disengage from that situation?
Well, I call it honest respect, because you don't know that person isn't just having a bad day, or they just lost, you know, their mother, and they're taking it out on you, whatever it is. But I have never had a problem with the word next. Like, I have other people to deal with. I'm not going to take this right now. But I will say to people, and I've done it many times, I have fired clients, which surprises people, but I have, because I'll say, you know, this doesn't seem to be a fit. You know, whatever's happening here in our relationship isn't comfortable. I don't appreciate being disrespected any more than you would. So I'm going to recommend that, you know, you find another person to work with. And I'm not insulting anybody. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just telling them this isn't a fit. It's, you know, you could say it's not me, it's you.
Right. You could say that. Yeah. But, you know, I was actually just thinking those exact words. I think I got a psychic bond going on here. Because I was just thinking those exact words. Yes, but sorry.
This is another small point that kind of matters, is that when you enter a sales relationship, it is a relationship. For whatever minutes or days or weeks you're going to engage with these people, it is a relationship, and you should have ground rules. And you may not have to mention them, but if you have to, you have to, you know?
Yeah. And I agree. It's on that note, it's really, I think I agree with you. It's very important, to have a line, you know,
Establishing expectations, yes, things like that.
I think in any business, you know, that's what contracts do. That's what everybody needs to establish. This is what you're doing. This is what you're getting. You know, this is what I will accept, and this is what I want. You know, and so that everybody understands, you know, what the situation is. And if it goes beyond that, as you said, you know, you have to politely disengage, you know, be as polite as you can about it, you know. That goes a long way to showing who you are, you know, and your personality. Don't stoop down to somebody else's level. But I definitely agree with you that, you know, once you've hit that barrier, It's kind of like, no, I'm not your punching bag. You
Yeah.
know, you're having a bad day. I understand that, but
It's
you
still my
know,
job, right?
it's
And
not me. You know.
make sure when you do have that talk, at the end of it, your voice goes down.
Yes. If it goes up,
I'm
they're
doing
gonna
my job?
go,
So they know
I'm sure.
you mean business, right? So,
Well,
yeah.
it's been great talking to you, Owen, as always.
You too.
I'm sure we'll have you on again, talking about your real estate and some of the other things that are going
My
on in
pleasure.
Twin Sierra area.
Yeah. So I just want to mention, if you don't mind, I am building the Essentially Speaking business, and there's going to be a component to it called breakaway training, where the sales aspect is going to be a big part of that.
And
Perfect.
is there some place that people can see that now, or is that is there any kind of
It's
contact?
in the works right now, and but I don't know if you've got my name, Owen Patrick Cramsey. I'm everywhere. Anyone wants to look me up and give me a call, you're welcome to. So again, I've done coaching and training for many, many years. Now it's going to be formalized as its own business. So that's the plan.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. Good luck with that. I'm sure knowing you, it'll be phenomenal.
Well, thank you very much, David. Thank
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. And so that's another a wrap up of the Real Connection with Dave McCall and Sean Santoro.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Happening.
There you go. Now for the folks listening, this is every Tuesday, 11 o'clock. We're on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all over there. We're on 18 different podcast channels. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, all the big ones. So be sure to listen in. We got some great information, some great guests, and we're going to have even more. So hope to, you can see us and hear us soon. So have a great day, and
It was a pleasure, guys.
thanks, Rowan. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Owen.